Hello and welcome to The Sound of Economics. Today we are here for a special edition of the backstage series from the annual meetings of Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic think tank. I'm Giuseppe Porcaro, the head of communications of Bruegel, and I'm here speaking with André Sapir, senior fellow at Bruegel, right after the panel on Europe's trade policy with Professor He Wang, Kate Kalutiewicz, if I pronounce her correctly, from the US mission to the EU, Reza Mogadam from Morgan Stanley, Alicia Garcia Herrero, another senior fellow from Bruegel, and the chair of the INTA committee of the European Parliament, Bernd Lange. So, André, what were the most important ideas discussed in your panel? Trade is a hot topic at the moment, so I'm pretty sure it was quite dense.
That's exactly right. It was a very exciting panel, and it was indeed exciting both because it is a hot topic, as you just said, and also because we had very good panelists. Inevitably, China, the US featured quite a bit. The panel was not really about the US and China. The panel was about what should be EU trade policy and what should be EU trade policy in the context where indeed there's not just a trade conflict anymore between the US and China, but really there is almost a full war. And what are the implications for the EU and the US? That was really the topic. And there was a presentation by Alicia and myself, in a sense, of our joint memo addressed to the incoming commissioner. And as we said, the incoming commissioner will not have any time to get slowly into the job. From day one, the new commissioner, he or she, will have to be up to speed and will have to act because there are so many issues on the table, both on the bilateral table, EU engaged in various bilateral discussions, including with China and the US, by the way, but also certainly in a trilateral setting, EU, US, Japan, and in Geneva on the multilateral. So many, many fronts to cover. And one of the very, I think, useful elements on the panel is that it was not just trade wonks, you know, the usual, you know, people who know all the details about trade policy and then who engage into sometimes the minutiae of trade policy, but there was also a macro aspect with Reza Mogadam, and I think that was very, very useful at this time, because the trade issue has taken on really macroeconomic dimensions. I think anybody, and that was said on many occasions today, you know, anybody who looks at the downside risks to the global economy would mention trade, and in particular the trade war between the US and China, as if not the number one, at least the number two issues that impacts on the global macroeconomic situation. So it was a trade discussion, you know, a trade policy discussion, but it was also intermingled with the discussion on macro matters.
And I imagine a macro discussion that also was intermingled with geopolitics. And the fact that you had perspectives both from, let's say, from US, from China, and from global companies and from the European Parliament must have been quite a diverse perspectives around the topic. So I would be curious to know a little bit more about the difference of perspectives that have been spelled out by the speakers. If you found out, you know, a pattern in the different ways they've been replying, and if we can say something about those different perspectives and points of views.
You're very right about the geopolitics of this. And again, I think one of the issues that was both present in an explicit manner at times, sometimes it was undertone, implicit, was where does the EU stand between the US and China, certainly on the part of the US panelists, there was the view that there's no question that Europe and the United States have a lot in common. We have a long history. We have a lot in common also in economic terms. And that therefore, also in geopolitical terms, in terms of values, in terms of geopolitics, we are much closer to the US than to China on this. And that in a sense, we have to some perceive, at least from the US, that we are a little hesitant in acknowledging that we are clearly on the, call it the Western side or the Atlantic side, and that we are not equidistant between the US and China in this fight. And I think we were Europe was much encouraged by the US participant to remember that, you know, where we belong, what is our natural position, and you know, with whom we share more values on this. When there were no official Chinese on the panel, there was a Chinese academic on the panel, a professor from a Chinese professor, but it's professor in Geneva. So he was always making sure that he was saying that he's an academic, he's not speaking in the name of China, and he tried to remain more on a terrain that was more of an analysis rather than taking position, and certainly not on geopolitics. But there was in the audience, it was a very large audience, a very lively audience as well, but there were some representatives from the Chinese mission. And when they took the floor in the Q&A part, then they made the point to the EU that Mrs. Merkel is in Beijing today, and that Europe and China do share a lot of interests. And so I think this is the typical discussion that there is, and that Europe finds itself a little bit in between. And as I indicated in some of my remarks, and I think was very much shared by Bernd Lange, who made lots of very useful contributions, was that, okay, in principle, you know, Europe, we do share the US criticism, some of the US criticism vis-à-vis China on trade matters, as far as the state-owned enterprises are concerned, as far as IPR, the intellectual property rights, are concerned. But on the other hand, we do not share the US approach to deal with China, which is on the bilateral or even unilateral approach. We wish to have a multilateral approach, and you know, to take those issues to the WTO and work together with the US, with China, and with others in reforming the WTO. So you know, Europe stands there, and certainly multilateralism was very, very much put forward by the Europeans. There were lots of interesting remarks also from the USTR representative about, you know, how they see the role of the WTO at this juncture. And then, as I said, I think what was also extremely useful in the panel is the presence of macroeconomists, Reza Mogadam, but Alicia, with whom I wrote the memo to the Trade Commissioner, and who is based in Hong Kong and is a macroeconomist as well, gave also very interesting perspective, both for the global economy, but also from the Chinese economy on the macro and the macro implications of what is going on.
Going back to the issue of multilateralism and bilateralism, and I would like to ask a last question, which is the clear recommendations that the panel, or in any case the work that you have been done with Alicia would give. You know, it's quite clear a little bit the positions of the different players, but which are the policy recommendations in this in this equilibrium, in this balance between the defense of multilateralism on one side and the real politic of the bilateral relations that is being more and more configured as the modus operandi of trade relations. So what would be the recommendations for the policymakers, both at national level, but especially at the European level now that we are on the eve of the new Commission?
That is indeed, I think, a crucial, maybe even the crucial question. I think, first of all, I think there is no doubt, and we heard that on the panel, both from our sides, Alicia's and mine, but also from Bert Lange, the chairman of the INTA committee at the European Parliament, that multilateralism is a value and an interest on the part of the EU, and that is by far our preferred approach to all of the issues, including the fight between the US and China on a number of issues. At the same time, and so there is sort of some tension between principle and realism. At the same time, well, the multilateral system is not easy to make progress there because of the size of the membership, because of the diversity of the membership, and therefore and also because there is the possibility that by the end of the year the appellate body will become dysfunctional. So there is a need certainly to reform the WTO, but one cannot ignore the possibility that the fight between the US and China cannot be resolved at the WTO. So I think the EU needs to do everything it can, and with like-minded countries, neither the US nor China at the moment, with others, sort of to have a coalition of the willing in support of the WTO system. But obviously, if the US and China war intensifies, and it could very well mean that it undermines the system. And there is certainly issues as to whether the system can function if neither the US nor China are full participants in the system. And therefore, I think, as we indicate and others have indicated, I think it's probably needed, unfortunately, in a sense, that the EU reinforces its insurance policy. And, you know, it needs also a dose of realism. This one cannot only be principled, but one also needs realism. And the realism is that, indeed, the EU continues to pursue some of the bilateral negotiations with a number of countries. It has already and recently signed a number of deals with bilateral deals with countries all around the world. It has launched new negotiations with new partners, and it may even launch further ones. So I think this issue of sort of principle and realism and attention, I think, will be one of the crucial issues for the new commissioner.
Thank you very much, André. And on this note of balance between realism and idealism, I would like to thank all of you for joining us. You've been listening to a special edition of Backstage from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank, part of our podcast series, The Sound of Economics, live at the Bruegel annual meetings. If you're interested in more of Bruegel's work, we have an array of blog posts and publications available at our website, www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again. Until next time, bye-bye.